is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Dickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Dickney.
Oh, you're in for a treat today because I know some of you have been thinking, whoa, this Brad Dickney guy keeps talking about marriage and going on and on and on about stuff, saying he wants to help us know how to thrive instead of just barely stay alive in our marriage. But does he have a wife? Does he really have a wife? And if he does, I got questions. I would love to hear from her. Wonder what she thinks and what would she say about him. Well, you're in for a treat today. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm Pastor Brad Dickney, and I am bringing to you today my wonderful, glorious, godly wife who has persevered with me now for 38 years. Vicki, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thanks, Brad. So glad I'm able to join you. I'm really excited to be here and looking forward to what God would teach us about marriage and just giving others hope for marriage, since ours was in such a bad place. It's really a passion that we both have to basically be able to tell people how God can rescue a marriage where you're both so unhappy and to a marriage where you're actually good friends and living for His glory.
Yeah. Well, let's just take a little bit of time. And before we even get into marriage, they might like to know, well, who are you? They know I'm a pastor. I'm a certified biblical counselor. I wrote a book. But they don't know you at all. Maybe a little background. Who are you? Where'd you grow up? And how in the world did you end up marrying a guy like me?
Those are a lot of great questions. I grew up in South Georgia in a very traditional home. My parents were both school teachers. I have an older brother and a younger sister. And we have lived here in Northern Kentucky about 29 years. And we have 5 children. We have 3 girls and 2 boys. 3 of our children are local and live here in the area. And then we have a son in Tampa and a daughter in St. Louis. And we have 3 grandchildren and 1 on the way. So that's a really exciting season to be in.
So did you grow up in church at all? Did you hear anything about marriage as you grew up? You know, Sunday school, student ministry, sermons along the way. But maybe even give us before that your personality. What are you like? How are you wired? You know, what kind of person are you?
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of questions. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in South Georgia, a really good Bible believing church. We had lots of great Bible teaching. We had a high view of marriage at that church, and marriage was something I always wanted. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a family. That was something I was excited about. And we got good teaching along the way about that. I saw it modeled in my home. My parents had a very good marriage. So I'm really grateful for that.
So your parents were married how long?
Wow. My parents were married over 60 years.
Yeah,
a long time.
And the way you saw them interact with each other in the home was overall positive?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they were really a team. I mean, they were very different. My dad was very kind, very loving, very gentle. But like I remember my mom, since they both worked full-time, she taught first grade and would come home with, you know, papers to grade, parents to talk to, and he would help out. Sometimes he would cook or, you know, grill hamburgers. I remember he would always pour his cereal every morning. That was his job, and I always hated it when he would mix Life cereal with Cheerios. There was just no really reason or rhyme to it. He would just, that's how he did it, and that's what we ended up eating. So, yeah, my parents, I'm sure they disagreed, but I never heard raising of voices or yelling or screaming. I'm assuming now that I'm older, they would, you know, go behind closed doors and discuss things. But they always were they were very kind to each other. They were very respectful and very kind. And I know that sounds like such a small thing, but being kind to each other in your marriage, that's a real win, I think.
And so overall, you saw them functioning as a team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But then back to the church. So you were in church as a young child. And what were some of the key influences that shaped your thoughts about marriage? What were you hearing that was kind of shaping up what you thought, oh, marriage is this, and here's why I'm looking forward to it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was so much what I heard. I mean, I'm sure there were things I went to on marriage, but I think it was just seeing married couples as far as my relatives in our church. I mean, I love the fact that I started that church as a, you know, a baby in the nursery. And then when I graduated from high school and went away to college, I was still going to that church. And then when I would go back to visit my parents, would still go to that church. And it was just wonderful to me to see through the years different marriages of people that I really respected. And that, you know, you come back 20 years later and there they are, they're still married. So I think just seeing the stability of a family and a marriage and seeing how that really stabilizes a home, that was probably the greatest teaching that I got, just seeing people through the years growing old together. And I knew that's what I want. I want to have a marriage like that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about how did we meet. So we both land at Columbia Bible College in 1983. I remember there were only three students entering because it was an odd time to start.
Right.
It was spring 1983. And I was a brand new student. Vicky was a brand new student. There was another guy named Fred Forrester. Three brand new students in orientation. And so there Vicky was. I remember, I don't know that she had it on that day, but I remember a dress that she had that she wore often was lime green. It was a cotton lime green, not immodest, but some kind of fabric that was like clingy. It was kind of clingy.
Okay. Yeah, oh,
baby,
wow.
It was clingy. But again, not immodest. She was never immodest.
Yes, let's please clarify.
But she had some flat little, like, slip-on loafer kind of shoes.
Sam and Libby, yeah.
Okay. And this lime green dress.
Well, that's really funny because as we were preparing for this, I remember one of the first times I met you, I remember we were in the line, the cafeteria line, and you had on cowboy boots and corduroy pants. Not sure what that was about, but yeah.
It was about looking good, girl,
yes.
Is what it was about.
But I also remember, because I was going to tell.
You?
See, oh, I was
you haven't
struck.
Forgotten. You remember those boots, don't you?
I remember thinking, odd, very odd. That's what I remember thinking. But I was going to say, I remember one of your favorite outfits. I mean, neither one of us had much money, so pretty much any outfit you had, you saw a lot of it. But lime green is kind of a reoccurring theme here because
so
you
true.
Had a pair of, I mean, correct me if
I
I'm wrong, like
headed.
Kelly green pants, like lime
they
Kelly
were
green.
Kelly green gym pants, long.
Yes.
But they were gym pants. And they had a yellow stripe down the right side of each leg.
Okay, well, I don't remember that.
And
but I do
wore
remember.
Those all the time.
You would also wear this bright yellow jacket with the Kelly Green
yep.
pants and a pink Izod shirt.
It
wow.
was a bright yellow, mm-hmm. simple light jacket because Columbia, South Carolina doesn't get that
right.
cold.
Right.
But man, I would wear that canary yellow
yes.
light jacket
it
along with my Kelly Green gym pants. Now, but, tell me I didn't have cowboy boots on with
no,
gym
no,
pants.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
You wore, I think, those little
yeah.
Sperry's or something like
yeah.
that. But I do remember I found it odd that the boys' dorm was way across from the girls' dorm, about a football field apart, and the cafeteria was in the middle, and there was a sidewalk leading away from each dorm. And every morning when I would go to eat breakfast, it just seemed that all of a sudden, here's Brad Bigney. He's training at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and we would eat breakfast together.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was very odd.
Ah, the leading of the Lord. No, I'll tell you what was going on there. Once Brad Bigney is very type A. Once Brad Bigney decides something like, whew, and I had decided that she just might be the one. We'd been friends. We'd served on a missions
right.
committee together to put together a global missions conference. And that was my introduction to really getting to know Vicky and being around her enough to realize, wow, this young lady is sharp. She's gifted. She's sharp. She's going somewhere. She didn't seem needy. She was not dramatic. She was not emotional. She was attractive for how strong she was. When you see someone that you can tell they love Jesus and they don't need me, that actually was attractive to me. And so I did one of those things that can be confusing to everybody but you, because you know what you're doing. I shifted in my mind one Christmas break from Vicky is a friend to Vicky is a top contender for future wife. And yeah. So that's when I began to look out my dorm window and I could see, and I would wait, look way down the sidewalk and to see when she came out the door and time it to go rushing down the stairs because I was on the second floor and see if I could hit it just right out there at the crosswalk, turning into the cafeteria and say, as casual as can be, despite how hard I was breathing from running, "Oh, hey, wow, you going to the cafeteria now too? Great."
Today, that would be considered stalking.
Yes, today this would be, because I also would just lurk in the student center where our mailboxes were and there were ping pong tables. And I would just pretend to play ping pong endlessly, waiting for Vicky Dill, that was her maiden name, to come check her mail. So I could likewise say, "Well, hey, how's it going?"
Yeah, another way we got to know each other was he didn't have a car and I had a car and we ended up going to the same church. So he didn't have a car. So he's like, "Hey, can I ride with you to church?" So he also rode in my car with me. So we also got to know each other that way. We went to a really good church there as singles and Brad was really active there playing his guitar on Wednesday night. I didn't go on Wednesday night, but that was another way we met.
Okay. You're listening to Thrive and you've got the incredible joy today of hearing the sweet, intelligent, godly, wise, biblically saturated voice of Vicky Bigney. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about, why did she marry a guy like me? What did she see that she thought was something she would want in marriage? Because real quickly, wow, it hit the fan, and it was not fun for either one of us.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife, Vicky, and Thrive in just a moment. And you know, as they talk about and share about building their marriage, it kind of reminds me of our teaching series, Drive by Marriage. It's not your typical marriage resource with 10 steps to a happier marriage or generic principles. No, Todd Friel, along with Rick Thomas, they're diving into practical topics like how to forget the past, how to argue effectively, and how to genuinely love one another. And so whether your marriage is struggling or strong, I promise you Drive by Marriage can help make a good marriage even better. You can pick it up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of better, all of the changes that have happened here at Fortis Institute over the last several months, well, they've been kind of overwhelming at times, but the response from you has been even more overwhelming. All of our brand new podcasts are ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, with some, including Thrive here, ranked in the top 5%. And we owe all of that to you. And if you haven't become a Fortis Insider yet, listen, it's completely free. You just share your email with us, and 5 days a week, we're going to send you an email with all of the exclusive content that has been loaded for that day. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and sign up. And also download the Fortis Plus app, where you get access to all of the content that we're loading daily free. There's hundreds of hours of audio and video content available in Fortis Plus right now. And like I said, we owe all of the success to you and our gospel partners. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Here comes the money talk, but stick with me just a second because we're building something remarkable here with Fortis Institute, and we need your help to continue building even more. We're launching podcasts and creating resources and equipping churches and believers to stand firm in their faith, but we can't do it alone. We need gospel partners just like you who share our vision and who are willing to invest in making it happen. And so here's the plea. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? But something else I want to say that you might not hear from very many ministries is that if you're strapped by some type of unmanaged debt right now and you're not giving faithfully to your local church, don't give to this ministry. We want you to faithfully steward the resources God has given you, just like we promised to faithfully steward the resources that God provides us through you. And so we want you to get those areas of your life taken care of first. And then when you do, pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the details right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky's story. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you've been listening to Thrive, and you've been so excited today because there's a second voice that you'd never heard before.
That's right.
The voice of Vicky Bigney. So Brad does have a wife. Stop all the rumors. He does have a wife. You've heard from her now. And so, honey, let's dig in a little more. We go from friendship to more than friendship. And I do think it's worth noting, I was dead serious committed to getting her while she was like, she had lots of options. She had a whole lot of options. And I wasn't used to that. That, man, she did not end her other options. And I noticed, wow, so many guys on campus were interested in Vicki Dill. And she was not inappropriately, but she was appropriately engaging and going out with and having meals with and talking to all kinds of other guys. So how did you go from enjoying lots of different guys on campus to starting to think, maybe he is the guy? What were you looking for and what did you see in me?
Well, I think it was helpful that by the time I came to college, I'd really made a commitment to myself that Jesus is enough. And so I think...
And I sensed that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was. But for you young ladies out there listening, desperate is not attractive. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what Vicki Dill had going on, but it was different than what I'd seen most often.
Well, are we going to talk about the breakup?
That. Well, say a little more about the heart you brought to campus, what God had already done.
Right.
Because that was already in place before.
Right, it really was.
I think
from several different situations, by the time I came on campus, I just realized I want Jesus to be my everything. And to me, security was structuring my life around what is eternal and cannot be taken away. And I just brought that into my dating relationship.
And that sounds like... Let me get you to say a little more. That sounds like something you literally memorized the way you just said that.
Right.
Just then.
Yes.
How did that come about? Usually when someone gets a hold of that kind of truth and they know it so well, they can say it, it comes out of something difficult you went through.
Right. I think I had been in a relationship.
Say it again.
Okay. What? Security, structuring my life around what is eternal and cannot be taken away. So I had been in a relationship. I got very hurt. And after that, I thought, okay, I don't want to ever put all my hopes and dreams in a man or really in anything. And so that was actually a really good lesson to learn because I think I came on campus just thinking, I want to be married. I want to have children. I want to have a family. But if God never allows that, I'm really trying to be okay with that. And at one point, which he kind of just wanted to move on, but like, no, we're going to talk about the breakup. So Brad went away. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. He went away for a weekend. There was someone else. I didn't go on the trip. It was like a campus trip to the mountains.
It was a trip for a group of singles from campus.
Right. So he comes back and decides, hey, see you later. So, you know, I in my dating life.
Well, I've been on the trip and there's this other girl that was so funny.
We won't say her name.
So much fun. I just thought, you know what? I think I'm gonna go after, I won't name her name. But I think I'm gonna go for this. And so I broke up with Vicki Dill.
Yes. And I think even like that, I just never wanted to totally burn bridges because really, since my hope was not in Brad, I remember either I talked to him or I wrote him a letter. I think I wrote you a letter.
I think you wrote me a letter.
Yeah. And I basically just said...
So young people listening, this was before cell phones.
Yes.
Before text. This was when phones were connected to the wall by a cord. And when you're at Bible college, you don't have your own phone.
Tell how old
there
we are.
There were pay phones at the end of the dorm hall. But go ahead. That's why she wrote me a letter.
Right. But I just remember, I think we were going away for summer break and we met before he went back to Knoxville. I went back to Georgia and I just basically wrote him a letter.
I think you asked for it. You asked for it.
Yeah. Because I wanted to let you know how I felt about this whole breakup thing. So I basically just said, hey, it's been great getting to know you. I think we had some good times together. But basically, if I never hear from you again, hope you have a great life. I mean, it wasn't that terse, but it was basically just saying, this
gist.
Has been good, but, you know, hope you have a good summer.
And again, notice, especially young ladies that might be listening, but notice the tone. It wasn't harsh. It wasn't caustic. It wasn't punitive. It was simply a quiet, self-assured, I am going to be okay with Jesus and God's plan for my life. And I still remember she had this flannel blanket thing that she had brought with her. And I just remember as she turned and walked away, because this was a conversation, I think, that kind of took place outside
right,
on the sidewalk.
Because
we're not allowed in each other's dorms. It's a Bible college. And as she turned and walked away, even then, I just had this sense of, oh, have I made the right decision? It was so attractive to see how well she handled the disappointment. And there was no begging and pleading and, oh my goodness, reconsider, what I have in you and what we have. And she stated the good things, but like, hope you have a good life.
And I want to say, I hadn't always been at that place.
Yeah.
But I think because of that hard breakup, that God just taught me a lot in that. And I realized, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to base all my hopes in another person.
Right.
So, and then how did this relationship catapult into the future? We're skipping over weeks and months. But basically, Brad called me to, I don't know how.
Basically, I came to my senses quickly in about 6 to 8 weeks and realized, oh, that other girl was like fun for a weekend. Vicky has so many better qualities that would be great for a lifetime. I made a bad mistake. And he's like, oh, I'll never forget. He's like, oh, any woman of substance would never take you back. So he was just telling me, there's no way. It was like there was some spring banquet coming up. And
right.
I was like, hey, I think I'm going to ask Vicky Dill. He's like, ha. And so I remember, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go for it. But I don't want her to be able to tell me easily no over the
You're
phone.
You're very tricky.
Mm-hmm. And so somehow I got word to her that I wanted to talk to her in person. And again, walked over, crossed the campus to her dorm. I remember standing outside and somehow, I don't know, I came around to it, asking her to that banquet because I thought, we've got to get this thing reignited and going again. And she said yes.
Yeah,
or maybe
she
said she
yes.
had to think about it. I don't know.
I think I said
yes. But ultimately it was yes. And then to just scoot way on ahead, then Brad Bigney in classic Brad Bigney way,
so typical.
Quickly, one day on a walk, just said, hey, I could go to your house this Christmas break and meet your parents. Because I'm thinking to myself, for this thing to get going and for us to get married after graduation, I got to meet the parents. So let's get this done.
I think we were like seniors, maybe.
Yeah,
I think so.
So what were your thoughts when I said, "Hey, I could come to your parents' house this Christmas break"?
I was terrified. Like, no, I don't want you to come meet my parents. I'm not sure I'm ready for this.
Why didn't you want me to come meet your parents? What was going on with you?
Well, we were not dating. We were just kind of friends. Things worked differently back then.
In my mind, we were dating.
Okay. Yeah. You should let me know.
I was always ahead of you.
Yes, you have always been on lots of things. Yes, that's very true. So I was dating someone from my home church.
Yes.
And I knew if I bring Brad home for Christmas, I can't date two guys at the same time. So I'll have to decide, am I going to choose between the guy at my church or Brad? So I thought, okay, I need to make some really fast
decisions.
Just
to help you understand why she was seriously weighing these options, guy at church, Georgia Tech, graduate or student?
Student.
Georgia Tech student, about to be an engineer, going to make good money, has a green Thunderbird. I know
that's
that doesn't
right.
mean much today, but back in the early 80s, that was still a sweet ride. Brad Bigney has no car. He needs a ride with Vicky Dill just to get himself to church. Brad Bigney, he was planning to be a Bible teacher.
And tennis.
And teach tennis on the side for like $10,000 or $11,000 a year. So that's why she pondered and paused, thinking,
very carefully.
Do I want to shatter all that might be going on with this other guy at church?
And I do remember thinking like, wow, if I choose Brad, I mean, we'll probably never even own a house. I mean, he doesn't even have a car. So we're own a house is really up in the ante. So, but I really did
but
see.
But not because you already thought I wasn't going anywhere.
No, no.
Or I
and
was
you,
not
we
a
really,
hard worker.
Yeah.
Why had you concluded that?
We never really discussed that. But yeah, I did see in you, you know, you similarly had a passion for Christ. You were heading up things, leading
but
things.
You knew he's either going to, because I had a serious talk with you at a picnic table one day about missions. I also
right.
had a wide open possibility. I
right.
may go to
right.
a hard place on the mission
yes.
field. So she knew this guy's either going to be a missionary on the mission field.
Yes.
We won't own a home. Or he's going to be a Bible teacher stateside
mm-hmm.
and make almost no
right.
money.
Right.
So,
what
wow.
a catch. But he had some great qualities.
The Kelly green pants, the canary yellow light jacket.
And I knew you were going somewhere. I mean, you were a leader. I thought he is going somewhere.
So there was some
absolutely
attraction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, all right. You've been listening to Thrive, and you've been having the treat of hearing the voice of Vicki Dill Bigney and a little bit of who she is and how we met. When we start back in the show, we're going to be talking about her insights on some of the things that I've been unpacking for weeks now. Vicki, thank you for being willing to join me, and thank you for loving me and loving our listener enough.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.